This is great. Welcome, everybody. It's like a family reunion. I see a lot of big families together, so I know there's a lot of moms that are happy today anyway. So please bow with me, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, all of our hearts, Lord God, meditating on your word, be pleasing to you. And Lord, may your word have its effect on us. And Lord, continue to craft in us the likeness of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm focusing in on Paul's words that we have been raised with Christ. It's a little bit of what I was trying to get at with the kids too. That story of Joseph, and it is also a great comparison, because there was Joseph literally in jail. I mean, it couldn't get really in that society much lower than that, in a much harder place. And in a moment, he was risen up and made number two man all over Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And imagine what that did to his very identity, right? I mean, one moment you are a prisoner, and the next moment you are giving the commands. I mean, you are top dog. So positionally, where we're at makes all the difference in the world. And of course, that greatly affects our very identity. And that's what I want to try and press in on and impress upon you is your identity in Christ. For those who are in Christ, you have been raised up with Christ. And again, as I told the kids, Paul in Ephesians actually says that we are then seated with him. No, it's right there. Where am I saying that? It's right there in Colossians. Sorry, even the pastor gets confused. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so we are risen up with him. And we positionally, it's a radical change. And that gets into our very identity. Because we have been made alive and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now in us. I mean, let that sink in too. For those of us who are in Christ, Christ is in us, the Spirit of Christ. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. We can also, because we are seated in Christ, with Christ in the heavenly realms, then truly too, as we pray in the Spirit and we're urged to pray in the Spirit, and as we worship in the Spirit and in truth, then we have this connection with God. You know, Joseph had this connection with Pharaoh then, and Pharaoh gave to him authority. It was part of his identity, this new identity. He was given authority. And so we are also given authority, and not just authority then to act and speak on Christ's behalf, but to approach the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence. We approach God's throne and can make any appeal. And God, who is above nature, I was just reading that this morning in my devotional, E.M. Bounds is talking about prayer, and he said, God literally is so, he supersedes nature. He created all nature. Yes, he created the laws of nature, but he is not bound by the laws of nature. And so when we make our appeal to Christ, who is above nature, anything can happen. He can even do miracles. And even at our urging, even at our appeals, God can do miracles. This is the kind of power, authority that we have. Positional. It's because we are with Christ. We are made alive in Christ, and we are made alive that we might live for him. This new life in us is Christ's life, his Spirit in us. It says that the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing, Jesus said. And so we live our lives now, having been raised with Christ, we live our lives for Christ. And not for ourselves, not for our own purposes. The true follower will truly live for him. That's the meaning of lordship. Jesus is my Savior, but he's also my Lord. And so I live for him. And some of that living does mean and entail suffering. Point three in your sermon notes, I said, like Christ, we will suffer. We will suffer for him. But I love that quote by the Apostle Peter. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. It's like somebody who's going into war. Yes, you are going into war. I'm looking at some of those from the military. And when you go in, there is that understanding that I may very likely suffer. I may lose my life in this engagement. But you steel your mind. You steel yourself for that. And so you arm yourself with the same attitude like Christ had. And we as Christians, just like that soldier, we arm ourselves with that same attitude. Yes, it might cost me. I might have to suffer. Yes, maybe there will be persecution. The Apostle Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It could even be that we would be given over to death. And in many places in this world today, Christians are being persecuted and even being given over to death. It doesn't seem for us that it's all that common, but I would say in our context, the kind of suffering that we go through is much more internal because of the sacrifice that we make, and it needs to be daily because it's sacrificing what I want to pursue for what Christ wants me to pursue. I have this identity. I am in him, and he is in me. But because of this identity, I don't live for myself anymore. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Christ now lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so my purposes now are his purposes. And sometimes those purposes, they conflict with what I want to do. But I choose to follow his purposes. And you know what I find? When I step into his purposes, when I align my life with his will, actually, things go better. Yeah, there could be persecution. Yeah, I could suffer. Yeah, my very life could be in danger. But, you know, I first appealed to the men in the kind of battle scene, battle kind of mindset. Women, and those of you who have given birth, did you think about it before you even got pregnant? Wow, I could go through some suffering here. Wow, this really could be god-awful, this experience. So why did you do it? Because of what came the moment later. And I would dare say, if it's not every single woman here, 99% of them that have gone through that birthing process, did you regret it afterward? Absolutely not. Willing to suffer because of the result. And Jesus said, wisdom is shown by its offspring. And so in that context, quite literally, wisdom, ladies, was shown by the offspring. What came from that suffering? A beautiful child. And we give thanks and praise God. What comes then after our suffering in this life? What if my life in following Christ and following his purposes, what if it means that I do face difficulties, struggles, maybe persecution, maybe death, but just even inside, it's the sacrifice of what I want in these pursuits that I can pursue Christ. And I struggle with that sometimes every day, but what is the advantage? Point four, like Christ, we will be glorified. Jesus said, hey, weigh it in the balance before you come and follow me. He told people that wanted to be his disciples, he said, weigh it in the balance. He said, before a king goes off to war, he better weigh it in the balance and make a decision, you know, with the forces I've got, and they've got 2-3 times the size of the army. I better weigh this. Maybe I should go and make an appeal for peace. He says, weigh it in the balance. Consider the cost before you follow me. But as we weigh this in the balance, I mean, a good, healthy life in this world, wow. We just did the funeral for Maureen Beresford the other day, last Wednesday. 96 years, right? Oh, she lived a great life. 96 years. That's a very full life compared to eternity. For what benefit? What does it benefit you? How does he say it? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and so sacrifice his soul? Oh, you weigh it in the balance. Lord Jesus, I will follow you. I will live for you. I will line up my purposes with your purposes. As I read your word, I try and conform my whole pattern, all of my life to your word. And if in this life it means that there's sacrifices I have to make, so be it, but praise God, I'll be glorified with you in heaven, and that's eternity. That's a whole lot longer of a time. So you weigh it in the balance. Is it worth the cost? And Paul said it great in Romans 8:18. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Are you living for this world and any glory that you can get out of this world? Or are you living for that delayed gratification, the glory that will be given to us in Christ Jesus? So I keep saying it's for those who are in Christ. What do I mean by that? It's somebody who literally has made that sacrifice and chosen Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. And that person, when they literally turn their life over, dying to self, Christ then, through his Holy Spirit, puts his life in that person, and that person is raised up with Christ, now positionally seated with him in the heavenly realms. And that person is raised up, and their whole perspective is different, like Joseph being raised up from the gutter, raised up from jail, and being positioned so high. So we too. And if there's any hesitation, but you don't know what my life's been like. You don't know the sins that I've committed. Oh, like Paul, I can stand before you and say, here I stand, chief of sinners. Oh, I understand. And so does God. And he delights in redeeming those who were once enslaved by sin, who were once imprisoned by their own willful, sinful lives. He delights in it. Remember the parable of the lost sheep? And that one sheep, when the shepherd found it, put it on his shoulders and went back rejoicing. And Jesus said, in the same way, when one sinner repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. That is Jesus' response to your question. But even me, even with all the things that I've done, yes, the invitation is there to get in with Jesus, to literally be in Christ, that Christ could be in you. And when that happens, there's something glorious that happens inside internally through the Holy Spirit doing this redemptive, resurrecting work in us. But the glory to come is just incredible. So imagine this. Let's do it this way. Close your eyes. Everybody, I invite you, close your eyes. So imagine you're at a coffee house. Imagine you're sitting there alone. All of a sudden, somebody comes and asks to sit across from you. And by his countenance, by his appearance, you can see the glory in him. It's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ begins the conversation, maybe with some small talk, but then he gets to the point and he starts asking you some questions. And he asks, do you recognize my resurrection power in you? Do you understand what I've done for you? Do you understand that through my Holy Spirit, everything in you can change? Are you willing, he asks, are you willing to suffer for my sake? Or would you dare safeguard this life and so jeopardize a life in heaven with me? And then he would ask, are your eyes on heaven or on earth? Are you living for this life and everything you can get out of it? Or are you living for the glory to be revealed in heaven? What would your answers be to Jesus Christ as he asks you those questions? You can open up your eyes. This is what Christ is asking. And every single one of us will give an account one day before the throne in heaven. And how we answer those questions, how we lived our life on earth, it's going to be important because it's going to reveal whether or not there was a living, active faith in us, or whether we were giving lip service. So my prayer is that every single person here, that if you don't have that life, and I know many people here have been experiencing that resurrection power, Jesus' life inside doing a redeeming work. There's some examples in this room that truly are glorious. But I pray that every single one of you would simply just surrender your life over to Christ, that his life might be lived in and through you, that you might glorify him in this life and so be glorified with him in heaven. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.